now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Sifting Superstition from Religion. The only hope for this fear-filled world is to be found in the promises of God's Word. Ed, I know people who claim that all religious beliefs are superstition, which we inherited from the past. I personally do not share this viewpoint, as you know, even though some superstitions have become associated with the doctrines of the Bible. I believe that anything that is true must be in harmony with known facts, historical, scientific, geographical, and the realities of human experience. But first, this program is brought to us by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study classes, and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest. So, Ed, my first question is the Bible in harmony with the known facts of history?
The answer is yes. The Bible goes back beyond the records of mere man and gives us a realistic account of the beginning of human life and experience.
But is that record in harmony with the known facts of history?
It surely is. History proves that the population of the human race has been constantly increasing. Since this has been true throughout the thousands of years of known human experience, it must have been true before the dawn of history, which means that we must eventually get back to the eight persons saved from the flood in Noah's day, and beyond that to the original human pair whom the Bible presents as our first parents, and it works out perfectly.
Very good. But, Ed, truth must also be in harmony with geographical facts. Is that true of the records of the Bible?
Yes. All the facts of history reveal that the cradle of the human race was in ancient Mesopotamia, even as the Bible indicates. Besides, you can go to the Holy Land today and identify all the principal places mentioned in the Bible. Yes, the Bible is a book of facts, historically and geographically.
That is interesting. But, Ed, going back to the very beginning of things, how can we be sure that the Bible presents the facts? What about the story of man's fall into sin and death? Do the facts of history support that story?
Well, most assuredly, the statement made to Adam was, "Ye shall surely die," and it is verified by billions of tombs and a continually dying world.
But you are considering that sentence of death as though it referred to what we today call natural death. Many think that God was warning Adam of a spiritual death and that naturally he would have died in any event.
Russell, let me say that there is nothing in the Bible to suggest this.
Don't be so sure of that, Ed. As you know, God said to Adam, "In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." But Adam did not actually die that very day. As a matter of fact, he lived for 930 years, as I remember it. So you see, the death mentioned by God, many believe, meant something different from what we call death.
Russell, according to the Hebrew text, what God really said to Adam was, "In the day thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die." This gives the thought that the process of death would begin at once and continue until Adam became wholly extinct. And that is exactly what happened.
Just the same, Ed, in the minds of many, the spiritual death is mentioned, is interpreted as separation from God, and, or, of course, torment in a fiery hell, anything but actual death.
I know that. But is that view in harmony with the facts as presented in the Bible? Nothing was said to Adam about a so-called spiritual death. Nothing was said to him about a place of torment. Nothing is said in the Bible about the creation of a place of torment. The simple fact stated to Adam was that if he disobeyed God's law, he would die. He disobeyed and he died. All his offspring, born imperfect, have also come under that penalty of death.
Well, I will have to admit that the human experience of sin and death is very much in harmony with the Bible, as you stated.
And as you know, Russell, in the Garden of Eden, another voice was heard. The voice of one described in the book of Revelation as that old serpent, the devil and Satan. Jesus said of Satan that he was the father of lies, and his first lie was told to Eve. He said to her that she would not die as a result of disobeying God's law. This lie not only deceived Eve, but the deception has spread to practically the whole human race.
Ed, please, would you mind clarifying your thought a little more?
Well, it's simply this. Stemming from the Garden of Eden, we have two lines of thought. God said that death would be the penalty for sin, and we have noted how tragically true this has been, a historical fact of all the ages. But from Satan's lie in the Garden of Eden has also come the teaching that there is no death. This has taken on many strange and superstitious viewpoints. It permeates all heathen religions, reincarnation, transmigration, and other no-death theories of the heathen world are based upon it. The teaching that man is inherently immortal is one of its branches. Now, the Bible reveals where that deception began, and history shows how effective it has been. In all the ages, very few indeed have believed what God said. The Apostle Paul did, and he wrote that the wages of sin is death.
But, Ed, the Bible does teach immortality. Surely that is more than just a tradition.
Yes, the Bible holds out a hope of immortality for those who follow faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus. This reward of immortality will be attained in the resurrection, but this does not mean that humans are inherently immortal.
Does that mean that there is no life after death for any except faithful Christians?
Not at all. According to the Bible, Jesus came to earth to die for Adam and his race. That Jesus did come is a historical fact. Geographically, we know where he was born, where he lived, where he suffered and died. This is not superstition, but fact. The disciples of Jesus testified to the fact that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible teaches that he returns to restore the whole dead world of mankind to life and to give them an opportunity to live forever, just as Adam had that opportunity but failed through disobedience.
But, Ed, what about the judgment day? The general idea is, you know, that when Christ returns, saints and sinners from heaven and hell will be summoned before him to be sentenced, that the saints will be returned to heaven and the sinners to hell, and that all this will take place in 24 hours. That does not harmonize with the thought that the human race will be on probation for 1,000 years.
It doesn't harmonize at all. It's one of the many facets of misunderstanding which has arisen from a failure to believe in the reality of death. The Bible does teach a coming judgment day. But if we hold the view that the destiny of each individual is fixed at death, and that the dead are not dead anyway, but they all go at once to their eternal abode, then there is no place for the judgment day teaching of the Bible. Actually, only the followers of Jesus have their probation period completed at death. These will not come into further judgment, but all others will, and for 1,000 years, the work of awakening the dead, enlightening them concerning Christ, and giving them an opportunity to live forever will continue. This glorious prospect will also yet prove to be a historical fact. It is also a fact that these thoughts are all clearly set forth in the little book, God and Reason. And Russell, I believe you're waiting to tell our friends how to obtain a copy free. I know it'll be most interesting to them, especially when they compare it with their Bible as they read it.
That is right. And friends, God and Reason will help you to sift superstition from religion and to increase your faith in God and the Bible. The prophecies of the Bible are history written in advance. There is an entire chapter in God and Reason dealing with the prophecies of the Bible. You will marvel as you find how accurately the major world developments of our day are foretold in the Bible. There is probation after death, the Bible tells us so. The judgment day of the Bible is not doomsday, but will be a time of blessing for the people. The earth will never be destroyed, but will be man's everlasting home. Unbelievers are not tortured forever. Read God and Reason and be assured of these facts which prove that God is love. So send now for God and Reason. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for God and Reason, and it will be sent to you free through the mail without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.